It seemed as though things couldn't get any worse for Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane. Then, this week happened. I'm Brad Linder, in for Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Joining me now for our Friday Reporters Roundtable is WHYY's Mary Wilson. Mary, this week saw the airing of a longstanding feud between Kane and Judge Barry Feudale, who oversaw a statewide grand jury until complaints from Kane got him removed. This week, we saw allegations of illegal leaks and break-ins, and a certain former Pennsylvania state senator's name resurfaced. Mary, can you walk us through the details?
Sure. The battle between Kane and Feudale goes back to at least 2013. Kane had him removed as a grand jury judge. And news outlets reported more recently that an ally of Kane had obtained emails showing Feudale was leaking secret material to the press pertaining to his removal. That's a sensitive subject for Kane, as she faces criminal charges now for doing something similar, leaking privileged materials and then lying about it under oath. After the news stories, Kane released some of the Feudale emails herself last week, and she said in an accompanying statement that the emails indicated what she called a reckless breach, and she suggested the leaking could complicate post-conviction motions in cases overseen by Feudale. Feudale filed a complaint against Kane in response. He filed it with state and federal authorities, numerous authorities, and in it he called her a rogue attorney general. He claims she dropped charges against former Philadelphia State Senator Vincent Fumo in connection to the Turnpike pay-to-play case. So far, that's just an allegation.
After Kane suggested that Feudale had leaked information about the Jerry Sandusky grand jury to the press, a judge summoned her into a closed-door session yesterday to prevent evidence to back up her claim. Did she have any evidence?
No, and this is the shortest answer I have for anything in this whole saga. The judge who summoned Kane said she had no evidence of leaks about the Sandusky grand jury. A spokesman for Kane says she never meant to allege that Feudale leaked grand jury-related information, but always meant to intend that he leaked information related to his own removal.
Kane's also fighting to keep her job after losing her law license. On Monday, there will be a hearing of a special committee determining whether the suspension of Kane's law license affects her ability to continue as state attorney general. What can you tell us about that?
Kane sent a lengthy letter to the committee today questioning its legal authority to exist, and actually more than questioning, just outright saying she doesn't believe it has any legal basis. The committee members I have called say they're still reviewing that letter. The committee, I should say here, claims to have subpoena power, so we could be in for yet another showdown.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
That's WHYY's Mary Wilson. Yesterday, a jury convicted Chip Fattah, Congressman Chaka Fattah's son. He was found guilty of 22 tax and bank fraud charges. A judge agreed to let him remain free until his February sentencing date. While Fattah tried to make his case in court during the three-week trial, one of the most interesting aspects of the case was how he managed his image outside the courtroom. WHYY's Bobby Allen joins us now to discuss that aspect of the trial. Bobby, tell us what was so unorthodox about covering Chip Fattah's case.
So typically, covering a case as a reporter in federal court, there's almost a formula. You listen to both sides duke it out in the courtroom, and then you talk to the defendant's attorney after. You know, during the trial, the prosecutors usually don't comment, and reporters have to rely on official charging documents like an indictment to get their side of the story. And that last part stayed true here. The U.S. Attorney's Office didn't grant interviews during the trial. The truly bizarre part was talking to Chip. Like not through an attorney, not reading a statement, just looking this guy in the eyes minutes after he faced seasoned federal prosecutors and talking to him like a human, one-on-one. It was really disarming and honestly kind of refreshing in some ways.
And he was representing himself in this case, which is part of the reason why instead of talking to an attorney, you were talking directly to Fattah. In the courtroom, it was pretty evident that he didn't have an attorney, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, having never gone to law school or even finished undergrad for that matter, he didn't quite know the rules of criminal procedure. There were constant sidebars, an unusual number of objections from prosecutors, and Chip would often bring up totally irrelevant information. Here's a good example of that.
An American citizen, a lifelong Philadelphian, who's never been charged with any criminal charges or
Objection.
Even arrested.
There's no evidence of that.
They haven't.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'm moving on, Your Honor. Moving on. Thank you. So let's talk about 8 through 10.
Apparently, the jury wasn't convinced by this direct appeal to them. He thought that it would all work in his favor, right?
Yeah, I mean, part of his strategy was depicting himself as a victim, you know, just a successful businessman who was unfairly being attacked by overzealous prosecutors trying to smear the Fatah name. But jurors, in the end, felt more convinced by the evidence presented to them, illustrating instances of lying, cheating, and stealing, than they were his story of being a vulnerable business guy under attack for what he would say is basically being bad at paperwork. After hearings, he'd call me, text me, walk down to the WHYY studio. He was more than available. Thing is, his points sometimes got muddled in his passion. Here's Chip talking to me after one day of his trial last week.
My 259 strategies LLC brought in $700,000 in 2.5 years, but whatever. And what I'm saying is, how many, you know, this is a progression. You know, I started with photography. I started making money. I got to a limit. I figured out another way to make money. And that's what you're going to see for the rest of this case. We're going to keep figuring out ways. I'm going to keep showing people that over the years, all I've done is figure out how to make money. I mean, if you heard their opening statement, I think they said that I was sitting around eating pizza. Well, guess what? I was eating pizza, but I was making a lot of money. That's what I'm going to show. I got to go, Bobby.
Prosecutors say he'll likely serve 4 years in jail for this, but he plans to appeal the fraud charges. What's the likelihood that he'll succeed?
Well, it depends whom you ask. Talk to lawyers and they'll tell you he has an incredibly small chance of winning an appeal. In a criminal case, you can't win an appeal by saying, I'm mad at the jury got this wrong, they missed some piece of evidence. The standard for overturning a jury verdict in federal court is very stringent and hard to meet. He'd have to show that some technical element of federal law was misapplied, or that, you know, a juror was tainted somehow, or that the judge gave the jury improper instructions.
Fatah's due in court for a sentencing in February. I guess we'll see what happens next. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Brad.
WHYY's Bobby Allen.